This time is very exciting in those last few days and couple of weeks before the festival, because there's so much energy that starts coming together, and professionals who live in Colorado who work on this festival, and it's a great time. It's really exciting. So yeah.
Okay, we
encourage folks to join us.
We're rising up for a rise, August 5th to 7th. Okay, one more time, what's the website?
I believe the website is arisefestival.com.
Is that right, Paul? I'm not sure.
I'm pretty certain. Just Google it, arisefestival.com.
Okay, well, thanks to all of you for coming down and sharing, telling us about your roles and experience with Arise. And we look forward to seeing everybody in just a couple weeks.
And catching your set, Buddha Bomb, on the electronic stage at the Arise Music Festival.
We'll all be there, Buddha Bomb. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One love.
Blessed be.
Okay, and that brings us to the close of Electronic Air. It is now time for Under the Floorboards, the show on every Saturday night from 11 p.m. until midnight. That's experimental underground, something a little bit different. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, online all over the world, kgnu.org. And you are now Under the Floorboards.
Good hello, listeners. We're back. We're still It's All in Your Head FM. Dr. Oslo Norway here. Sorry for that interruption. Welcome back to the final hour of It's All in Your Head FM, now under new management.
Of religion and belief and meaning, the deepest things that come from the deepest part of our beings. We reach to symbol, we reach to poetry, we reach to art to try to begin to articulate what those things are. And I think that we have to acknowledge that we're in this realm when we begin to talk about those. And if we take the symbols and don't acknowledge that they're symbols, then we get into this trouble.
If we try to make them facts, you mean?
Now, does God mean something very real to you, Henry?
Yes.
That 90 to 95% of Americans who believe in God, you can break that down. Not everybody believes in the Judeo-Christian God. There's actually a sizable minority who believe in sort of a higher spirit of some generic kind, not necessarily a personal being. Stephen Hawking says we'll know the mind of God. He doesn't mean the Judeo-Christian personal God who we can pray to. He means this, the cosmos as a whole. And to me, what really turned me around when I was a born-again Christian that really challenged me was the idea that there are so many different kinds of gods.
But Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but by me.
Different kinds of gods. And
he's either the way or he's not.
And if we, you know, do a show of hands of your listeners, how many believe in Zeus or these different kinds of Greek gods? Well, they'll all be atheists. So the difference between me as a non-believer and them as a non-believer is that we've all dismissed all these other gods except this one monotheistic God. Clearly, this is a historical, culturally determined concept, God and religion is.
Whatever religion, Christian, Protestant, Catholic,
Catholics, there's only one God.
Freud called religion an illusion.
You feel it in your head. You feel it in your head.
That our science is not an illusion. And Freud was saying, come down from your heights, human beings. You are not as great as you say that you are. You are full of sexuality. You are full of hatred and lust and envy. Face yourself. I am going to save you from those delusions.
Is God a person to you, Henry? Is God a person to you, Henry?
No, he's something more like a thing.
I think this is a really complicated moment.
The thesis of how we believe is that humans are pattern-seeking, storytelling animals. It is almost impossible for us to look out at nature and not find some sort of pattern and then tell a story about it. That's what myths and stories are all about, is giving some meaning to the pattern. And, you know, only in America would a conversation like this consistently be brought back to this need to prove. God, look, you can't prove it. Let me just say it as clearly as I can. There are no proofs of God.
May I?
Whether there is a God or not, nobody knows. We'll find out, I guess, in the end. But in the meantime, as storytelling animals, we continue to spin stories about our world, and the scientific worldview is our story for today.
That just happened. That just happened. You hear so much, that thing just happened.
Kant, Immanuel Kant, Bertrand Russell said, we don't know the intrinsic nature of the physical world. What's it like in itself? What's the thing in itself? Kant said, one natural speculation is that intrinsic nature of the physical world has something very deep to do with consciousness. This leads to what philosophers call panpsychism.
I don't think panpsychism has, my own view is, consciousness is good and something special about human beings, and it's not everywhere. I mean, that's the cool thing about it. It's not everywhere. Consciousness just hides in very special frames.
Well, Berkeley would say, have you ever seen anything without consciousness?
Well, that's true. But
no,
that's
every time you see something, you're conscious.
Well, that's right. But consciousness goes where I go, where minds go. But minds aren't everywhere. Don't have any minds.
Do we really have any record of any observation of anything that didn't involve consciousness? No, because the observation was conscious.
You're getting spooky on me. I think we've got to end this conversation, because before I get really weirded out.
This is the Universal Media Network.
It's All in Your Head FM.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM, putting the less back in Godless.
Let us have faith.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do.
Let us have faith.
He made the trees, he made the seas, he made the elements too.
Let us have faith.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do.
Let us have faith.
Listening to It's All in Your Head FM.
We're all Muhammad now.
Islam. Islam. Islam.
God is
Islam. The five pillars were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabian desert 600 years after the birth of Christ and recorded in the Quran. Now, a fifth of the world's human beings are Muslim.
God is perfect.
Islam literally means surrender, to lie down in peace before the will of Allah, the one God. But the intent of Islam is to create justice in this world, to unify the temporal and the spiritual.
Was isolated really for almost 800 years. In the desert, you have either day or night, you have cold or hot. You don't have these shades. Even the music is only one string. And that has kind of polarized the way of thinking. It's either black or white. It's either you're with me or against me.
Allah is powerful and great.
There is no doubt Muslims believe that God does want human beings to surrender to His will.
God is perfect. So we can say Islam is perfect because God is perfect.
And therefore, those who have not surrendered themselves to God's will are seen as opponents, if you will, to God.
If anybody said anything different than the Quran have to win because it's the Quran is the word of God Almighty.
In Christianity, in Judaism, their creed or their aqidah doesn't make the clearest sense.
Whenever the word Jew appeared in Quran, I always thought they are the people who have been cursed by God.
These guys had the message and they faltered. You've got the message now, don't falter with it.
I start hating the Jews.
All Muslims are haunted by texts. The greatest text of all being Quran, then the other text is Hadith, which is all written. Then we have the Sharia, then we have the Fiqh, and we have an attitude towards that text. It is a very controlled attitude. We call it tafsir, we call it exegesis, we call it commentary, and the fuqaha, the religious scholars, have the right to actually comment on it. We also are very keen on certainty. Now, not many Muslims can handle uncertainty, doubt, and even questioning whether God even exists. Now, one of the great Islamic scholars, Al-Ghazali, did ask that question back in the time of the height of Islamic civilization, and I agree with Gada. Somewhere or other, we've got fossilized. We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things, how we know things. We've got to think about even engaging with philosophy. We've actually sidelined philosophy for theology. And we need to rethink those things in terms of identity in the modern world. Now, we must be careful, 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 careful.
Every single fundamentalist movement that I've studied in Judaism, Christianity is in Islam, is convinced that modern secular society is the enemy of religion and wants to wipe it out. So they feel that they're fighting, and Maududi certainly felt was that Muslims were fighting with their backs to the wall against a hideously powerful force. And that they must exert all their efforts to counter this great threat to religion.
This is a case, as with other great religions, where you can find a justification for your tactics of the moment.
I'm sure. Like in all other religions, not only in religions, any book can be misinterpreted, misread. There is a verse in the Quran, religion in the sight of God is Islam. Some have seen this verse to mean that if you are not a follower of Prophet Muhammad, then you are an enemy of God.
Quran do talk about self-defense and your right to use violence or aggression. These things have been twisted.
You get politics involved, you get cultural baggage involved, and you try to interpret things that actually are very clear.
People like Osama bin Laden, likewise.
People that call themselves Muslims and practice terrorism
can easily misinterpret a verse like this.
The Quran actually not telling me to hate the Jews. It was the teachers who was telling me to hate the Jews.
We've got people misinterpreting left and right and giving a sense of, you know, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. And you've got people that are just, you know, kind of being pulled along with that. And it's completely unfair. It's completely un-Islamic.
Fundamentalism in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is becoming more extreme right now. And we're almost getting what I would call post-fundamentalist groups, people who believe they're going beyond the fundamentalism that erupted so strongly during the 1970s into a new, more desperate phase. And I think something like this is happening here.
I would rather we have an Islamic government. Basically, Islam is a way to organize life. I believe in any country which practices Islamic teachings as God had sent it down to us, we wouldn't have any problems, really.
Have you seen the man who denies Islam?
It's almost as like a sort of nihilism here, as though fundamentalism is moving into what we call an antinomian phase.
Have you seen the man who denies Islam? Have you seen the man who denies Islam?
But God see. But God see. But God say, give the way of God those enemies and seek to be killed for my sake, I will grant you something called shahada.
We are still victimized by a certain kind of culture based on the charisma.
You become martyr.
The savior.
Martyrdom is what you want.
The Redeemer.
Do the effort.
The one-man show.
Clean your intention.
The one party.
Go forward, never look backward.
The one opinion.
Make sure you have nothing left behind you to think about or to cry for.
And the charisma.
And fight the Redeemer.
You infect my world with your presence.
The Savior, the Redeemer, the one-man show, the one party, the one opinion.
Antinomian phase. It means that you ignore all law and sort of trample on all values. If you are killing and massacring thousands of innocent people, you've lost all sense of law. And in various moments of history, when people are feeling extremely desperate, this religious extremism, and there are various examples of this in the past, can tip over into a complete nihilism where all law, even your sacred religious law, is something that you trample on in your desire to get to a new phase.
Everyone has heard of a heart attack, but what about a brain attack?
We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things, how we know things.
Well, you don't have an answer. How well? That's because God made it that way.
No!
Well, that's because God made it that way. That's just a dreadful way to conduct religion. And it's also doomed because it means that the more things science is able to explain, the smaller and smaller part of the unpainted part of the floor is left for you, this poor God that you've created to occupy. That doesn't, it just seems silly. It's the path that one is drawn into when you start trying to use nature to prove God's existence.
It was dogmatism that split us in the first place in the 16th century. It's dogmatism, this whole notion that there is a truth that is the truth, it is the eternal truth and the unquestionable truth. We learn at the end of a telescope that it got us nowhere.
Does anybody feel close to God when they're happy?
The human brain.
I think statistic that people have come up with and from various points of view is that we're 1/4 conscious and 3/4 unconscious at all times.
God makes your mind work.
1/4 conscious and 3/4 unconscious at all times, and that both are functioning together in tandem with self-knowledge, without self-knowledge.
Isn't unconscious just another part of the brain that's operating? It's not some mystical
force.
We're
not just brains. No, it's not a mystical force, but it's unconscious. We can't know it in the same way.
You feel it in your head. You feel it in your head.
Researchers who study intelligence and different human capacities, the big hot new area is to look at the impact of the emotional on the intellectual and to see how much those two processes go together.
The notion here is that we, not God, are in effect creating our own response unwittingly, thus tricking ourselves into believing it is coming from elsewhere.
No matter what the religion, no matter what the form of worship, prayer makes certain regions of the brain light up
like this,
in a special and unique way.
Like this.
The frontal lobe, right behind the forehead,
like this,
focuses concentration.
Like this.
The limbic system, deep in the center, triggers feelings of awe and joy. The parietal lobe, at the back of the brain, brings on that feeling of becoming part of something greater than oneself.
The limbic system can be a place where fear is stored, but it can also be, as we're learning now, a place where that faith is stored as well. I think they're trying to find, is there a scientific basis for faith?
Why even bother studying it?
It's controversial,
why
it's difficult.
Why even bother studying it?
Out of all the different kind of faiths, is this something that binds us together? Do our brains, no matter our faith, all seem to light up the same way? And does something change in the brain when someone is faithful?
Well, you're a neurosurgeon. What do you make of these brain scans showing the brain responding to prayer in a particular, very unique way?
I think there's something there.
The researchers asked members of 3 Christian groups to say the same prayers for about 2/3 of the patients.
The findings show that prayer had no effect, but engineered bladders have worked well. The leakage problem improved, and most importantly, telling patients that someone is praying for them might increase their leakage problem.
One explanation for why people have these experiences of a sense of a presence in the room, a presence of God or aliens or ghosts or lost loved ones that have died and come back to visit us, is that the left temporal lobe coordinates all the brain modules together into a sense of self. We all feel like a single person. I don't have multiple people in me, I'm just one. And by messing that up, by bombarding the right temporal lobe, what Persinger does is he creates a sense of 2 selves in the brain. Now, the brain is not capable of sensing 2 selves. So it senses 1 self and another self in the room, another presence in the room. what that will be interpreted as depends on your culture. People 400 or 500 years ago experienced incubi, succubi, because they lived in a demon-haunted world. People 100 years ago experienced spirits and ghosts because they lived in a spirit-haunted world. The kind of world we live in is an alien-haunted world. We live in a world filled with X-Files and Star Trek and Star Wars and all these search for extraterrestrial intelligence. We're obsessed with alien, the idea of alien intelligences. So, of course, we would interpret these anomalous experiences, these senses of presence, not as demons, but as aliens or gods, because we've always believed in gods.
Pictures of people's brains while they are sleeping.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could...
If we go back to the beginning, we shall find that ignorance and fear created the gods, and that custom, respect, and tyranny support them in order to make the blindness of men serve their own interests. If the ignorance of nature gave birth to gods, the knowledge of nature is calculated to destroy them.
Let us have faith.
We all are in this cultural trance.
There is no God!
The loudspeakers walk up and say, Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid.
Christianity is
stupid.
How about group marriage or marriage between daddies and little girls? How about marriage between a man and his donkey?
So do you believe in God?
No, of course not. Why would you take a religious book and say, oh yeah, these have got to be true, this makes sense, when the people who wrote that book thousands of years ago, they were just superstitious and they didn't know how the world really worked?
You know I'm afraid to say there's no God, even though I know there's no God.
What? I don't understand.
Al-Qaeda is trying to do two things. They're trying to issue a wake-up call to Muslims saying, look, your entire religion and the Ummah, the Islamic community, is under threat, and therefore it's your duty as a Muslim to rise up and resist this. And they're also trying to strike a blow of revenge.
On my orders.
Revenge.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes.
Oh God, deliver us, America.
from evil.
This great Muslim, love thy neighbor nonsense. You know, if you read the Quran, really read the Quran, and if you learn about what's going on in Saudi Arabia, about this one and his, it is, they have to wipe out everybody unless you become one of them. So if that happens, if there's another nuclear bomb, we're going to bomb Mecca, we're going to bomb the most religious places. This is a holy war.
They live in the shadow of God, in the paradise of Eden. The strangers, Canada, USA, France, Britain, have ceased to focus on the unknown, the mysterious, because they do not believe in God. Europe stopped believing in God, so why should I speak in our language? I will speak in their terms. I have land and the paradise of Eden. My land is occupied, and I'm trying to liberate it.
Asking my Saudi friends, what do these people want?
You know, this is how you know you're dealing with a true fundamentalist, because fundamentalists always believe that whenever they impose their sacred rules, their sacred texts, and it doesn't go as planned, never blame the rules. You always blame that the rules were not imposed strictly enough. You know, this is what they have in common with the Taliban. It's like somebody's ankles are showing. That's the problem.
What would Jesus do? Would Jesus think that torture is cool?
They have this vision that they propagated true Islam in its purest form. So anything they encountered that differed from that vision was regarded as objectionable. Look with me to high mountains capped with snow.
Let us have faith.
Walk with me in a forest where the wild be strong.
Let us have faith.
And then tell me again, there is
connectedness to the world and to others and have these transcendent emotions. But
Does that say anything about the existence of the supernatural, or is that just a phenomenon that we as human beings experience?
But isn't there a huge arrogance in all this that, you know, God is beyond definition, beyond pigeonholing and describing fully? Any definitions are provisional. And to say someone else's understanding of God is simply wrong could be a spiritual arrogance.
Well, only from those who are relativists. I'm not a relativist. I'm an absolutist. And I believe that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if I am a follower of Jesus Christ, who am I to say that I'm not going to put myself under the authority of the teaching of Jesus Christ? It's not arrogance. It's submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, I know that in a modern relativist, syncretistic age, the exclusive claims of the traditional Christian faith jar the ear. Jar the ear. Followers of Jesus Christ.
There is no devil, there is no heaven, there is no hell, and there is no God. Oh, there he goes again!
Well, the problem with fundamentalists is if they're not having a good time, they think that everybody else shouldn't be having a good time.
What has puzzled you most about God? What has puzzled you most about God?
Well, I've always been puzzled about him because, airplanes have been flying pretty high and they haven't come across him.
And the Lord saw the tower which the children of men built, and he was displeased, saying to himself,
this thing is not good.
Most impossible and memorable images of that day were people leaping out of the windows, being forced out by the fire behind them, driving and herding them out the windows, and to see that image of two people, co-workers, strangers, I had no idea, but that not knowing made it all the more poignant for reaching out for somebody's hand to take your last step. That you would end your life in the hands of a stranger, plummeting thousands of feet to your death.
To me, the idea of standing on a ledge of the 80th floor of a high rise and look at a woman or a friend and hold hands and say, we are going to like fly down and die together now holding hands, it's something that is so beyond my courage. You know how many times I have actually visualized myself in that situation since that happened.
I think that the power of that image is it doesn't give an answer.
And I can't even imagine how to do that.
It takes us in two opposing directions.
I mean, I'm sure that there is so many religious people asking themselves questions. Did they hear a voice? Did they hear a calling? Did they see a beautiful garden with rivers and lakes down there? Was their pain so much that some device that we don't know about that we have inside ourselves, some spiritual device, just triggered on and all of a sudden it was heaven?
This thing is not good.
On the one hand, we are all alone at the end. Life is fleeting. There's no one to help us when we face the abyss. And there wasn't. No one came for them.
Already before they jumped, and they were just jumping into something beautiful.
And on the other hand, they reached for each other.
Because I tell you, I could not do it. Something special must have been going on. Because a lot of them jumped.
They said that in that moment when they're facing the absolute ultimate, there are other human beings to reach out, to be there, to help them, to help us. There are other human beings. There are other human beings. There are other human beings to reach out, to be there, to help them, to help us.
Do you feel closer to God when you're indoors or out of doors?
The brain is shaking inside the skull.
You're in the Universal Media Network.
It's all in your head, FM.
As the plus, in the plus, or as God, you will see only the good you desire. As the minus, or as a human being, you will see the evil. And in most cases, favor your attention towards the evil.
Of conflict is very often projected onto the other.
God is perfect. God is perfect. God is perfect. God is perfect.
What's very curious about this period of time is you've got this mixture of things. You have, on the one hand, this hunger for meaning and embracing meaning, yet you have a whole movement in our culture that's rejecting even the possibility of meaning. This is called postmodernism, the idea that not only do we have our individual stories, but there's nothing but stories. The problem with this view, which is very popular in certain circles, is that it is profoundly relativistic and ultimately nihilistic. It leaves you all alone with just a story. And there's something that's deep inside of all of us that tells us there's more than just a story going on here, and I want to know what it is. And I think part of the move to fundamentalism, to some degree, in that it's a genuine move back to the fundamentals, is trying to get in touch with something you could really depend on, something you can actually know, not just a guess, not just a shot in the dark, not just a fantasy, not just a religious a placebo or something like that, but actually the real McCoy. And I see both of these things kind of happening at the same time.
Well, I have to disagree with that.
Obviously,
I don't think there's any God, and if you want to have meaning in your life, it's up to you to give meaning to your life, and it's not just an empty experience. We're all part of humanity together here.
So God doesn't seem like anything to you?
No, he doesn't.
We all are in this cultural trance.
What does God seem like to you?
Well, I don't know.
We all are in this cultural trance.
Is God a person to you, Harold?
No, God is not a person to me.
I'm a fan of Freud and a fan of his arguments, but just because you wish that something is so doesn't mean that it isn't so. What Freud's saying is that he'd say, well, maybe instead of saying that a God's there, it makes more sense to say that these are universal human wishes.
What's the best thing you can say about faith?
Not a lot. I think faith is pernicious because it teaches people, especially teaches children, that believing something without evidence is a virtue. I think it's a bit pernicious because I think that children should be taught to seek evidence. They should be taught to be skeptical. If they're told something, they should immediately say, what's the evidence for that?
Good morning, children. How are you today?
Whereas faith teaches you not to ask for the evidence. It teaches you this is true because it's true because it's true. You just have faith and you don't have to justify it.
Don't think. Accept what is. Accept what authority says is true.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
I think it may be the power of it may come from getting children early. If you're taught from the cradle upwards.
Don't think.
That certain things are true.
Accept what is.
You're taught that it's a virtue not to question.
Accept what authority says is true.
You're taught that if you start to have doubts, then you must pray to overcome your doubts. You're taught that if somebody comes along to you with plausible arguments to the contrary, then that's probably the devil speaking.
This is really fun because you can make a jello mold that looks like a brain.
There's a sort of wishful thinking element about that. I mean, quite obviously in the case of surviving after death, because it might be very nice to survive after death, but what's nice isn't necessarily true. And there are people who can't distinguish between what they would like to be true and what there is any evidence is true. And that, I think, might apply also to morality, where people feel, I think wrongly, that you cannot have a moral society without religion. I don't think that's true, but even if it were true, it wouldn't mean that the existential claims of religion were true just because they make people moral.
Ticking clock. Ticking clock. Ticking clock. Everyone stop.
This is the Universal Media Net Web.
Plug up your ears and cover up your eyes because it's all in your head, FM.
Some people don't believe in God and some people do. And I don't know, it doesn't seem like there could be a God.
Let us have faith. Let us have faith.
His truth is marching.
Let us have faith.
No microphone problems in Jesus' name.
Let us have faith that right faith makes right might.
Not right, so right.
Let us have faith that right faith makes might right.
Well nigh perfect, but a little firmer in this faith you're expressing, maybe, please.
Let us have right faith that makes faith right might. Right might makes faith might.
Shall we try once more?
Right.
Four.
Let us have faith that faith makes might right.
I like that practically it with one last thought. There was a note of pleading in that last seemingly.
Right.
And make it more a positive statement of your belief.
Take five.
Let us have faith that makes might right might.
Up a little more, just a little more firmness.
Let us have faith that right faith makes might mighty right.
And just a little quieter expression of your faith, not quite, you don't need to project it.
Let us have right faith that makes us have right might that makes might right.
That was very good. I don't mean to wear you out. I'd like to take one more go around.
Let us have faith that faith might make might right might. That might make might right.
Once more, please, with the thought that you're completely confident of your trust in divine providence and you're very firm in your faith at the end. Shall we try once more?
Right. Let us have faith that makes faith mighty. Right faith that makes us have right might. That makes faith right faith right to the end.
Just the last faith in... Broke apart a little.
That's right.
A little more flow right there.
Right. Let us have faith that right faith makes might mighty mighty right. Faith makes us right. And in that might, in that right, have faith. Let us have.
One last time, the whole section five, so you get a momentum up.
Right.
And. Give me a finale that is a little more conscious of being a finale. In other words, not projected, but a little firmer in this faith you're expressing. Maybe try it one last time.
Sure, anything. Let us have faith. That mighty faith makes us mighty right. And in that right faith, let us have mighty might. That faith makes mighty right might.
Perfect.
But what about a brain attack?
Might makes right. Might makes right.
Homer Carr, there we are. This is It's All in Your Head FM. And we now turn our heads and yours to Viewpoint, where members of our listening community air their faith-based opinions on a variety of topics. Tonight's Viewpoint is from Dr. Harold Camping.
Yes, good evening. I'm Father Harold Camping, founder of Family Radio of California, with an opinion.
And now let's go back into history a little bit.
Billions of years ago, there was just a Big Bang in space. No one knows what causes Big Bang, it just happened. From this bang issued a huge rock, and on top of the rock was found a sweet, brown, bubbly substance. And over millions and millions of years, aluminum crept up the side and formed itself into a can, and then into a lid, and then into a pull tab on top of this can. And then millions of years later, red paint, blue paint, white paint fell from the sky and pulled itself into the words, 12 fluid ounces. Do not litter. And you say, Dr. Camping, what are you doing? You're insulting my intellect. And so I am, because we know that if a can is made, there must be a maker. And if it's designed, there must be a designer. To believe the soda can happened by chance is to move into an intellectual free zone. It's to have an echo when you think. It's to have brain liposuction. Think about that the next time you're enjoying your soda. I'm Father Harold Camping, and I do thank you for this guest opportunity today.
The views expressed on Viewpoint in no way resemble any viewpoints held by the Universal Media NetWeb, Negative Land, or It's All in Your Head FM. And after a 2-cent deposit, may be returned.
Slow down.
Christians did this way back at the time of the Crusades, when we were fighting a brutal holy war in the Middle East against Muslims.
Slow down.
Something which in no way could be justified by the peaceful gospel of Jesus Christ.
Enough, 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 enough. This is changing too fast for me.
We were, in a sense, at war with our Christian selves, but we then said it's Islam that is the violent, intolerant faith, and we must fight it to the death, and that it's the enemy. So there's a projection going on there.
I can't keep up. I can't keep up. I can't keep up.
And similarly, much of the classical Western phobia about Jews was similarly based on worry, buried anxiety about Christian behavior, Christian beliefs.
You just can't drag people into the 21st century by the scruff of the neck. You can't do that. Slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down.
And I think you're quite right, there's something of that sort going on here, that people, especially in developing countries, we're torn, as I say, between East and West, tend to project all that hatred onto an enemy that they can define and feel and categorize as absolutely evil, and therefore out of the cast of any form of human consideration.
This is the Universal Media Network.
This is the weatherman, and believe it or not, we're all Muhammad now. We're all Muhammad now. We're all Muhammad now. I don't even know what that means, because it's all in your head, FM.
One of the most popular radio voices from nowhere.
Scientists say the human brain continues to change through the process of evolution.
We Christians don't call it evolution because we believe it isn't something coming up out of blind nature, but something coming down from the world of light, power, and knowledge beyond all nature.
Scientists say the brain has evolved about as much as it ever will.
Now, are there things that are being discovered by scientists every day that they have not known before?
Yes.
Well, now, do you think that the scientists know all about this feeling of God?
Somebody looks at the complexity of human life and says, given enough time, anything can happen.
Time without the
Another looks at that and says, given enough time, anything can happen. Another looks at that and says, a complex design like this, I wonder if there was a creator or a thought designer behind this.
Okay. Are you familiar with the little quip that million-to-one odds happen 8 times a day in New York City? It's
Never.
The law of big numbers. There's enough stuff happening out there. There's enough particles. There's enough forces. The sun is burning. It's putting energy into the system.
That's
of course we generate complexity
out of
chaos. This is called emergence, principle of emergence. Out of chaos emerges complexity without any designer at all. All you need is energy put into the system. That's it. It just happens spontaneously. Now, as pattern-seeking animals, it's impossible for us to think. It can't just happen. There must be somebody behind the curtain pulling the strings. Somebody behind the curtain pulling the strings. But there isn't. But there isn't.
So I'm only one of the many Darwinian biologists who believe we understand the meaning of life. The meaning of life.
What?
The meaning of life.
What is the meaning of life?
The meaning of life is, life is a series of machines which are programmed to propagate the instructions that built them, the hereditary instructions that built them. And so that's the biological meaning of life. I hasten to add, that's not, of course, the meaning of life for you and me. Love and family life and whatever it is we do, whether it's writing books or listening to music. But the reason you're in the world is the biological meaning. Given that you're in the world, then you can make life mean whatever you want it to mean.
In the timescale of the age of the universe, our human origins take up a tiny fraction. To illustrate this, let's compress the age of the universe from 15 billion years to the present into a single year. So the Big Bang happened at 1 second after midnight, January 1. Then our galaxy, the Milky Way, started around May 1st. Our solar system on September 9th, the Earth on September 14th, and life began about September 25th. Plants evolved about November 12th, the first vertebrates on December 19th, and the first dinosaurs on Christmas Eve. Mammals appear on December 26th, birds on the 27th, and the first humans at 10:30 p.m. December 31st. Our first civilizations began in the last 30 seconds. It gives us pause to reflect that paleontologists are trying to fill in the last 30 minutes, which represents 3 to 5 million years.
You've been listening to Under the Floorboards on KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, online and all over the world, kgnu.org. I'm Buddha Bomb, been having a great time tonight. Been on the air since 9 o'clock. From 9 to 11, I hosted Electronic Air. We had Tiero, Paul, and an entire crew of people who are attending, participating, presenting, and performing at Arise, the Arise Music Festival happening the first weekend in August 5th to the 7th. Then after that, from 11 to 12, I've been doing Under the Floorboards. It is now past midnight, time for sleepless nights. It doesn't look like anyone showed up, so I am going to continue with a little bit more Negative Land, and then I'll switch it up in a little bit and start mixing some different things together on this Buddha Bomb-a-thon, as it turns out. Thanks for tuning in. Going to continue with Negative Land right now.
just how holy is the Holy Land? Just how holy is the Holy Land?
God is perfect.
Well, I was trying to use a belt bomb.
Just how holy is the Holy Land?
I was trying to use a belt bomb.
God is perfect.
Which is basically a belt with explosives.